Forrest Griffin, as Steve and Adam are yelling at each other, speaking in third person as well. Forrest,
yeah,
how are you?
Man, I'm good, man. I'm excited. What are we talking about? I want to know.
So this all goes back to the Kamaru Usman win over Masvidal, and we had some national radio guys say, hey, Usman's boring. Why is he fighting like this? UFC's all about standing in the middle and slugging, and Adam Hill, my co-host, has gotten so angry and is like, these fans are just dopey. They don't know what they're talking about.
The object is to win, Forrest. Win the fight.
Well,
that's it, right?
Let me say, yeah, I mean, you win by the clearest path to victory at all times. Usman said it well. He's never been in there with a guy trying to take his head off. You go where you have the comparable advantage. But one thing I'll say is, it's okay to have fans that want to see a fight. That's okay. That's what they paid money for. They want to see a fight. You want to see a fight. That's what you enjoy. So that's fine for the fans that have that opinion. But when the media guys start jumping in with their opinion about the fight, that's kind of dumb. If they want to say, hey, a lot of fans were disappointed in the way he handled that, that'd be one thing. But when the media starts interjecting their own opinion in, but I'm sure you guys have never done that, right?
No, never. We just sit back and let things happen and don't express opinions.
Here's the thing. We're different media. I think we have to give opinions on radio. I'm not sure what Adam is supposed to do, but I do know you lashed out, Adam, at a lot of people on Twitter. Basically denigrating, what they want.
Well, it's ignorant. Forrest, it's the bottom line. The bottom line, Forrest, it is a sport, and the object is to win. I think that's the simple way to put it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And if I think I have the advantage somewhere, that's where I want to make that fight occur.
Yeah. I don't see people getting mad at, basketball teams that go to their strength. If that's your strength,
yeah, well, here's the difference, though. And Forrest Griffin's with us as we're yelling. Here's the difference. Basketball players have guaranteed contracts. Fighters, if they fight exciting fights and get big wins, can make more money. So it's not just a sport. It's entertainment, too.
Right, but Forrest, also, when you're a champion, you make more money, too, right, Forrest?
Yeah, the flip side of that would be, to retain your belt, too.
Yeah, exactly. You got to win. You got to make the money that way. Well, let's get into it. There is a UFC card tonight.
There's an old boxing saying that I like: it's a win today and look good tomorrow. That's an old, Joe Lewis type thing, right?
Love it. That is great. There is fights tonight over at Fight Island. First of all, why aren't you there?
There's always fights. These guys around here are nuts, man. There's never not fights.
Why aren't you there, Forrest?
There's nothing for me to do there. I serve no purpose. I would just get in the way and be a potential person to infect people. So I'm right here in Vegas watching on TV like everybody else.
Well, I mean, I guess just the whole concept of Fight Island, it ends up being in Abu Dhabi, and it's a cool thing. But when you hear about, Dana White just says in an interview.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't strike a game of death. I was like, yeah, I wish that had been around when I was fighting. I would have fought that.
What is your favorite memory as a fighter? I'm interested in this because obviously everybody talks about the Bonner fight and what it did for the sport. But for you, what was your favorite memory?
Oh, I really don't know. I don't know. I've got a ton, getting a fight in Vegas was nice. I'd never fought in Vegas before. That was the first time I ever fought in Vegas was at the Cox Pavilion with Stephen. So that was fun. You hear about Vegas, you see Vegas. I had a bunch of buddies that were in kickboxing that told me, like, man, I went to the Bellagio buffet after I lost, and it was great. And I was like, yeah, cool, but you fell off. Yeah.
So we have a lot to get into. We're here with Forrest Griffin on the Max Crosby Radiothon. Great cause, of course. You have downplayed your basketball skills, but we know that you can play basketball.
No, I haven't. I actually used to tell people I was really good. The thing is now I have no shoulders. And basketball, it turns out, is a game that involves raising your arms up in the air. I just now am very, very horrible. No, there's I have VHS tapes of me dunking in the 90s, and in my head, I'll forever be that good.
You dunked on Tuff, didn't you?
Oh yeah, I did. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a national TV dunk. But I guess
I'm 6'3", right? Yeah. It's like you can't really, I don't really have to jump that high.
My question, though, we've talked about your basketball skills. Did you play football? Were you a football player at all?
Oh, yeah. That was the sport I was better at, even though I enjoyed basketball more.
Really? What'd you play?
Defensive end.
Okay. So you have a little kinship with Max Crosby, then?
Yeah. I don't think he ever will know what it's like to be mediocre.
That's good. Good stuff. Well, what, I mean, you've been in Vegas for a while. You're a Vegas guy. You talked about fighting here. Now you've been around here. What is it like for you to see NFL coming to Las Vegas?
Oh man, I'm really excited. So I hated all the Raiders fans. Obviously, I grew up in Georgia, Falcons fan myself, yeah. And I hated all the Raiders fans. They have a cool logo, black and gold. It's cool, black and silver. It's a cool thing, but you know, I'm like, man, what's your like relationship to LA? The way you get to be a fan, is there? You know, people are just like, oh, it's cool, man. Everybody else wears it, so I always hated them for that. But now, you know, 20 years later, I get to be a Raiders fan. And I'm excited about it, you know. And I wish I had my friend's Raider starter jacket from back in the 90s.
You could find one. That. I think we could find you one. That'd be good. We talked about the Radiothon. Max Crosby doing great things, of course, around town. But you've been very active on the charity front for a long time here in town. Anybody that's been around knows that. So why are these things so important?
But man, come on, it's easy, right? We like to do things that make us feel good, you know. And my whole like thing in my thing in life is to kind of be net neutral, right? So you know, you consume resources. I want to give back as much as I take, and maybe a little more. You know, I never made it to Boy Scouts. I was kicked out of Weeblos. Long story, but their motto is like when they go to a campsite to leave things just a little better than they found them. And that's my motto for life. You know, just try to leave the world a little better than it was, you know, with me having been in it than it would have been without me. And you do enough things like this, and it's, you know, it's really great, right?
You said it's a long story, how you got kicked out of Weeblos. I don't think anybody's surprised.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it wasn't for me. You know, what can I say?
Could you tie the knots, though?
No, I couldn't. I couldn't do anything. I was pretty worthless. Yeah.
Okay. Well, young Forrest that was getting kicked out of Weeblos back in the day, would he be more surprised that you're in an athletic hall of fame or that you're a best-selling author?
I think he's probably disappointed that I didn't make it to the NFL and NBA and you know, wasn't a dual-sport athlete. He's probably like, man, I thought you were going to be like defensive linebacker and then a power forward and they, you know, during basketball. I thought you were going to be the first – you know, dual sport guy, what happened for us? He's probably disappointed in me for that.
I think he's probably pretty proud. You might be wrong about that. You've accomplished quite a bit. But
what do I know about young me? That was such a long time ago. I can't even remember.
On a slightly more serious note, actually much more serious, you did go into law enforcement for a while.
I did, yeah.
That has there's been a lot of controversy around that topic. Lately.
You know, so and I'm glad you bring it up, but that's a very long conversation to have, you know. So if I wasn't doing what I was doing for the UFC, my fallback job was going to be, or not my fallback job, the first thing I loved to do was defensive tactics in the police academy. So I wanted to, you know, as I got older and more senior, to be basically a defensive tactics instructor, right? So how to take people down, how to handcuff them. You know, basically, you know, grappling and pummeling for law enforcement, some weapons retention, stuff like that. So when I saw that, I was immediately just disgusted by that, you know, by what everybody saw. And here's the thing. Now you got me talking, and there's a soapbox, and now I got to finish this thought here.
Go ahead.
Here's the deal. And this occurred to me when I was watching the riots in Ferguson. I see people of one color and race. And then I see the people in law enforcement, they're a different color and race. And then you see, you know, if I'm a young black man, and I hate to use colors to describe people, I don't really like being called white either, they're colors, not people, but you get the gist, right?
Yeah.
If I'm a young black man, I keep seeing people that look like me being killed by people that don't look like me under color of law. So that's immediately going to create a bad relationship there. And so the plan, like the strategy to fix that is to put, if you're familiar with like an Explorers program, it's like ROTC but for cops, to put a program like that in every inner city school in America. Right? It would be very expensive. It would take about 6 years to come to fruition. And then to start generating law enforcement scholarships for minorities, right? What you really need, I don't think that man gets murdered. I don't think George gets murdered if there's black officers there. I don't think that happens. So I think what you need is you need people that police people to represent the people they police, right? So why do all the cops in Ferguson look like me, but the people they're policing don't look anything like me? You know, it kind of makes sense, right?
Yeah,
it does.
You can follow that train of thought. If you think about it, 5-6 years down the road, we've turned this activism we have now into, you know, young black men and women and minorities of all kinds with guns, badges, a duty to police their own citizens. And I think that would have the biggest impact on the way our relationship as, you know, United States Americans with law enforcement, right? I think that's kind of the piece that's missing.
Important stuff to talk about, Fars. We need to catch up again very soon. We appreciate you taking part today in the Athletes Doing Good Radiothon. Thank you, man.
Well, all right. Thanks, guys.